Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
A couple years ago, I was coming back from Florida when a family trip. We had been in St. Augustine. We were driving up Highway 90 or I-95, and we needed to get on into I-10, which is junctions there in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, if you're like me, when I have a long drive, I can't sleep the night before. I'm always just kind of on edge. And so what I've learned to do on vacations that really works well is I just get up about 3 a.m. and throw the kids in the car, jammies and all, and I get a lot of miles in before their kidneys wake up, if you catch my drift. And so those miles from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m. are really good miles, and you can get some move down. But the problem is, when everyone's asleep, and I was coming back, and I had my phone set up, and my phone was doing the phone GPS thing towards me. And so we got an I-95, and we were coming up, and we hit Jacksonville, and my phone said, take next right to I-10. So I took the next right. And I came down, then it said, take a left, and then it said, take a right, and then it said, go a few miles, and it said, turn here. And it's like, I'm downtown now. And then it threw me back on the highway 4 miles before the exit that I was just on. And I was like, okay. So I must have missed something, so I'm really going to listen closely now. You know, drink a cup of coffee, roll the windows down, wake up, I must be tired. All right, so we're driving down, make this exit. Took the same exit. Listen, turn right, turn left, turn right, go a few miles, and I did it again. And I was like, the curly shuffle, the Three Stooges. So I'm not waking up the boss. That ain't gonna happen. No way is that gonna happen. So I'm rolling again. I'm thinking, all right. So I know that if I turn here, it's wrong. I'm just gonna go past it. And then turn and then come from the other direction and catch it. Ha! Ingenuity of the American man. So, went past it, did my turn, started coming back. It said, take this exit, rolled me back, and I got back on I-95 the wrong way again. 4 miles back. Now the boss is waking up because she's hearing me going, and don't you hate that when that happens? Now, surely I'm not the only person who has had that. Come on, fess him up. Let's see him. Let's see the hands. You've been around the cycle a few times? Okay. All right. Well, the message this morning is actually called The Cycle, because it's frustrating when you recognize the scenery looks eerily familiar to what you've just passed and what you've just been through. And now, not only just am I talking about in our journeys on the highways, but journeys in life. In our journey of life, the fact of the matter is, there are times that we make some wrong turns. There are times that we go around and we find ourselves having the same problems or the same issues over and over again. We get ourselves in the same marriages. We get ourselves in the same argument. We think, why are we having this argument? This sounds just like the argument that we had 3 years ago, which sounds like the argument that we had 6 years ago. It sounds like, and we have the same things that go over and over, whether it be in our relationships or in our parenting. There's this frustrating thing that happens when we look and we notice we've been here before. You know, there's individuals who I talk with who have great ideas, and they're like, yeah, I always have an idea, and it's going to be great, and I set it up, and it's going to work, and I've got it all planned out. And then the planning stage is solid, and then we get to the implementation phase, and somehow it begins to fall apart, and then we can start well, but we just can't seem to finish. And I do it over and over again, and it's frustrating. Well, the good news is, We have a book of the Bible that basically is talking about this entire situation. And we've begun a new study on the book of Judges. We started last week. Now, it is a somewhat violent and tragic book recounting the downward spiral of the children of Israel from the death of Joshua to the time of the monarchy. Now, all along, it's important to know that God created us for relationship with Him. And that is the same, holds true for us. God has this wonderful purpose on every one of you, every one of us. God has a purpose. He wants to use us, as the Apostle Paul said, we are His ambassadors. And an ambassador is the highest ranking official in a foreign land. So the truth is, this is not our home, okay? This is not our home. God wants to use His children, His people, to show or to demonstrate who He is and what He's like. And the same was true for the children of Israel. He called them to go into the promised land. He gave them instructions that if they would love Him and they would cleave to Him, that He would fight their battles for them and that they would demonstrate the type of God who He was. So He wanted them to have an impact on the land, not the land to have an impact on them. It's a tragic story as we see rolling along. But let's just jump right in here in Judges chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. Now, I'm going to tell you right off bat, this isn't like a real uplifting scripture. This is not one of those, yay, I feel great afterwards, or, oh, I'm going to put that on my wall. Let's read it and I'll show you. But there's some really good stuff in it. Ready? Joshua chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that He had done for Israel. This is after Joshua's death. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord. The Baals are a false god. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. And so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and He gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. And He sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies, so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned, and as the Lord had sworn to them. And they were in terrible distress. Then the Lord raised up the judges, who saved them out of the hands of those who plundered. Verse 17 is tragic. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from all the way in which their fathers had walked and who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord and did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up the judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and He saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. Yeah, we're really uplifted now. Great. Yay. We all feel super. This was a real encouraging message today. Now, hang on. There's some really good stuff in here. First of all is this. God is compassionate and God remembers His promises even when we don't. Okay? That's some good news. And now what's happened is the writer here of Judges has basically given us a brief overview. Those of you who are in school, you ever use what's called Cliff's Notes? Yeah. Cliff's Notes is basically a summary of a book, and then I heard that some people then didn't read the whole novel. They just read the Cliff's Notes and then tried to fake it on a test. But that doesn't work. Well, it's kind of like Cliff's Notes on the book of Judges. He kind of gives a summary, and this is standard in Hebraic teaching. A lot of times in Hebraic teaching, they would begin with an overview, a framework, and then they'd go back and give the details of the story, which is what he does now. But looking at the framework, we see several things. First of all, that God offered relationship and blessing, but as we read, they rejected it, and they continued to adopt the customs of the land. That's what God didn't want. And that message is for us today. God wants us to not adopt the customs of the land, but to be His representative and to represent His love and His way to the land that which we are called. Okay? So for those of you who are in a cycle today, and for those of you who look and you read this and you think, wow, how ridiculous they were that they knew all this stuff and then they turned around and they did the same mistakes over and over again. How ignorant they were. How foolish they were. Stop just a moment. Because I believe that if we want to look in the mirror, we're probably guilty of the same thing, going through some of the same cycles. I call this message the cycle, and I'm going to address three questions. Question number one is, what causes the cycle? What causes the cycle? Question number two is, why do we stay in the cycle? And question number three is, how do we break the cycle? So let's deal with question number one. What causes the cycle? Well, in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, we read that, "And there arose another generation after them." Now look at these words. "Who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel." Now, why didn't they know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel? You see, this is inexcusable, and we're left with only two conclusions. Okay, conclusion number one is that they were not taught, or conclusion number two is that they did not learn. One of two, it's either one or the other here. And so the question for us is, what causes the cycle in our life is this: what are the lessons that we refuse to teach? Now, part of the mission of First Christian Church of Pittsfield is to reach, to teach, and to empower. In other words, we want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not a bunch of social programs, not a bunch of fundraisers and chicken dinners. We have a message, and the message is not the programs of the church. The message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so this message is what we all gather around and we all rally around. But the truth is, sometimes there is sadly a resistance to teach spiritual things. There's a failure to communicate spiritual things to one another. What does this look like? What are the conversations that we're having with our children? Or moreover, what are the conversations we're not having with our children? When we're talking about having a God worldview, a worldview that says God is authoritative, that is now under enormous, enormous skepticism in our country. I'm wondering, are we having those conversations with our children? Or are we saying that that's Sunday school's job? That's youth group's job. It's a youth group's job to have those conversations. Well, yes, but not alone. Okay? Well, it's, I'll just get a Christian book, and that Christian book is supposed to do. And so we're giving our position, our place of influence, our place as being a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, we're giving it away. Don't give it away. It's your calling. Why don't we have those conversations? We can talk about sports, we can talk about things in the community, we can talk about school, but when it comes to talking about what it means to walk with God, then eerie silence falls over everything. The most important conversation that we can have has to do with spiritual things. I'm not telling you to preach at people, I'm telling you to communicate God's love. It's what we're called to do. It's a holy calling. We have a failure to communicate spiritual things. We have a failure to communicate that God is authoritative. And we forget the fact that it's the main reason that we're here. The main reason that we're here is to share Christ, not to make a living, not to provide for our family. Those are good things. I'm not saying those are bad things. Not to have a business, not to be successful, not to leave this community better than what... Those are all admirable and good things, but they're not the primary reason that we are here. The primary reason that every one of us is here is to reflect or present Christ in our own unique ways. Well, I'm not a good speaker. Then do it through your service. Well, I'm not a good... It doesn't matter. Shine Christ. You are the light of the world. All right? So that's one of the reasons that we struggle. That's the reason that there's a cycle. Another reason that there's this cycle and that causes this cycle is the lessons that we refuse to learn. Anyone had to be told a lesson more than once? Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. And what's the lesson that we're having to be told over and over and over again? Well, the bottom line is this: what it means to be His chosen people. You see, I find God having to continually tell me, hey, don't you, wait, you are mine. When I start acting a complete fool, I kind of feel like the Holy Spirit knocks me on the, just taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, who are you? Well, I'm angry. No, you're not. You're a child of God. Ah, okay. Well, I can be a child of God instead of being over the top. You see, we can do those things. We can understand. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It means we strive, though, to be perfected. We learn that God is our strength. Why is it important to know that God is our strength? Why does this lesson have to be taught over and over and over again? Because many times we choose to quit. We choose to quit. We quit fighting and we quit the game in the third quarter. We still have a whole another quarter. Temptation comes. Oh, I'm not going to knock the door. Oh, they knocked again. I must open. They knocked twice. No, there is strength that God offers us. Strength that God has. And why we have the cycle is we refuse to understand that God is our strength. Now, let me roll back to last week. Because this seed was sown in chapter 1. When the children of Israel asked God, who's going to go in first? And God said this, Judah goes in and I'm going to dispossess the land. Through him, he's going to go in. I'm going to drive out the inhabitants through Judah. And what was Judah's response? Judah's response was, hey, I'm going to go talk to Simeon. Instead of God in me is enough, it's nope, God, I don't know that God is my strength. I need to find someone else to go with me. And so Simeon and Judah went up and they began to take possession of the land. But a little bit later, when they get to the plains, they can't possess the land because they had chariots. Chariots had never been a problem for God, but they were a problem for Judah and Simeon. Why? Because somehow God had been taken out of the equation. You can take that to the bank. We fall when we don't stand on God as our strength. It's what trips us up every time. And we repeat the cycle. And we find ourselves back on the highway. Man, the scenery looks familiar. Haven't I been here before? Okay. I forgot this is streamed. See, I do things like that, and my wife's like, you looked quite grand today. And it's like, very pastorally. Yeah. Okay. Next thing, Christ is our Lord. Another lesson that we refuse to learn is Christ is our Lord. What does it mean, Christ is our Lord? Well, if He's our Lord, then we are submitted, our favorite word, submitted to Him. Jesus says, why do you say you love me and don't do what I say? That Christ is our Lord. And the most important lesson that I think we refuse to learn is we have the choice to yield. That means to yield to God or to yield to the enemy. To answer the question, why is there a cycle? That's why. So it's the next question is how do we get stuck in the cycle? Why do we get stuck in the cycle? What keeps us locked into this? Well, let's go on to Judges chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, and they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. Okay, well, I know that's kind of rough. God blesses us because He loves us. We see who God is in the fact that He's not just done with us. Okay, the fact that God has been gracious and gives us second and third and fourth chances, that lets us know who He's like. But here's the problem, is that our hearts don't change. Okay? When we find ourselves like the children of Israel, they found themselves being occupied by the Philistines or by one of these other inhabitants there who were coming and persecuting them, and their God allowed them to be delivered into their hands, and they were oppressed. They were calling out, Lord, take away the oppression. Lord, save me from this oppression. But what they didn't want, they wanted to be saved from something, but not to something. So in other words, it looks like, Lord, I want this season of my life to be over, but I'm not interested in more of you. And so how we frame this is, are you desiring the things of God, but not relationship with God? Here's the deal, God, the eternal life thing, I really want that eternal life thing. That sounds good. Anybody excited about the eternal life thing? Yeah, that's good. I want the eternal life. I want the peace that passes understanding. I want the joy of the Lord. I want His healing. But I really don't want relationship with Him. Seriously. That's what we're seeing in here. They wanted deliverance, but they didn't want the inconvenience, as if a relationship with God was inconvenient. Because we don't understand it at that point. As if the relationship with God was going to be some kind of inconvenience to them. We can ask ourselves this question. You're guilty of this. Do I want God's blessing, but not His lordship? I know that's pretty difficult things, guys. Hard stuff for us to swallow. How's another way that we can know that our hearts don't change? Do we only cry out to Him? Oh, this one hurts. Do we only cry out to Him in hard times? Now, I know. If you cry out to God in hard times, good! That's what you're supposed to do! I was working with a person one time, and they were going through a really difficult time in their life. And I said, you know what? God's trying to call you to come back. And this is what the person said. Well, I don't want to be one of those people who, when hard times come, that then they run to God, and that's it. And I was like, well, that's the stupidest answer I ever heard. When you have hard times, do run to God, okay? Do run to God, but don't run away from Him afterwards. Is the problem? You follow where I'm taking you? So hard times will come, and what should you do in hard times? Come to the Lord, but as close as you get to the Lord in hard times, why do we leave it? In fact, sometimes that's the purpose of the hard time, is God wants to pull us back. Now, in terms of what does this look like, New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. I want to just jump to verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Here's basically what this means. So if I recognize I'm in the cycle, I've made a bad choice, I've made a bad decision, this can look like sin, because there's sins of commission and there's sins of omission. There are times that we sin when we transgress, we trespass against God's word. And there are also sins of omission where God wants us to do something and we resist Him, right? Sins of commission, sins of omission, okay? God calls us to love. You know, say, thou shalt not kill. Okay, well, I won't kill, but I'm not going to love. Well, you're still sinning. Okay? So when we make that decision and we get on the wrong path, we're on that detour, we're in the cycle, we start going around in circles, we're not taking new ground. Here's what I want you to understand. Godly sorrow produces repentance. So when the bad time comes, or when we start reaping what we sow, we can say this: I'm going to stop this, but I don't go to God. That's not repentance. Repentance is not stopping something. I talk with people with substance abuse all the time. They say, oh, you know, I'm really, really sorry for what I've done. I know. Obvious. Yes, we get that. You're sorry. But the bottom line is, what's going to change? How is your heart going to change in this? Repentance, as I've been trying to tell you, is this: not stopping something, but stopping, recognizing, turning the other direction, and going the opposite direction. That's why our hearts don't change. Sadly, in Judges chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, we read that this is not what was happening, because it says in verse 19 and 20, whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them, and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Why do we stay in the cycle? Because we refused to allow our hearts to change. Now, the good news is, how can we break the cycle? Do you have to stay in the cycle? No, you don't. That's the great news. You don't have to stay in the cycle. Judges chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now, these are the nations that the Lord left to, what's the next word there? Come on, everybody say it. 1, 2, 3. To test Israel by them. That is, all in Israel who had not experienced all the wars in Canaan. It was only in order that the generations of the Lord of Israel might know war, to teach war to those who had not known it before. So what is God wanting to do? How do we break the cycle? First of all, you got to recognize who you are and what you're called to do. Who you are. We are a child of God. Value your position as a child of God. Don't let anything replace it. Because you can know God as your provider. How do we break the cycle? We know that it's not in our ability. It's in our place in God. And second of all, to learn to war as a soldier in the army of the Lord. How we break the cycle is, no, you are a soldier. Everybody say, I'm a soldier. Now that didn't sound very soldierly. That didn't even sound like the reserves or anything. Come on. I'm a soldier. Yeah. I'm a soldier. I'm not a part-time. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. God has called me to take ground, not to give it up. He has called me to be pressing forward. And why do I need to learn that I'm a soldier? Because I can teach. God wants to teach me to trust in Him. How do I break the cycle? Understand what is the cycle trying to teach me? As I kept going around that silly detour over and over, I was missing something. Something was trying to be revealed to me because I kept going around and around again. And so too in our life, God is trying to teach us to trust in us, to Him, to teach us to stand, and to teach us most of all how to know Him more. Don't let a pastor replace your relationship with God. Do not let a Christian author replace your position with God. Do not let some Christian artist or some book, any of those things. Do not let some TV evangelist. Do not let some podcast or internet stream. Do not let it replace your position with God. People come in sometimes, they're like, yeah, I just need some counsel from the Lord. I'm like, okay, well, what has God said to you? Well, I don't know, that's what your job is. And I'm like, hold the horses. My job is not to be God for you. My job is to equip you to be in relationship with God, because ultimately He's your Father. And so your job is to pray. Well, I can't hear the voice of God. Okay, well, that's legit. If you feel that you can't hear it, can you read God's Word? Because if you're reading God's Word, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You want to get to know God? Get into His Word. And the more you read His Word, the more you're going to understand His character, the more you're going to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And does the Holy Spirit speak? Yes, the Holy Spirit does continue to speak. He speaks in words. He speaks through Scripture. He speaks through life circumstances. Okay? God loves you and wants to do this. He wants to teach us to stand. He wants to teach us to know Him more. Put up the next slide if you would please, kiddo. Thank you. That's what I saw. Something like that, similar to that, is what I remember seeing on coming off of I-95. Here's the problem. Right next to it, there was a fence. Little bitty, there's a fence on either side and a little bitty lane. Now, unfortunately for me, my wife woke up and said, it says detour. It's like, yes, I know it says detour. My phone doesn't recognize that. My phone said to go this way. It says, well, it's just about big enough that you could fit a car or a semi through, but I mean, it was tight. I mean, it was pretty tight. So I followed her instructions. And I got off. It's amazing to me how much the voice of God is actually the voice of my wife sometimes, but don't tell her that, please. So I got on this little bitty thing, man. I'm serious. This is what the detour should have like. Hit it again. This is what my detour was. Okay. This is kind of how I handled it. So don't do that one. Here was my problem. I was listening to the wrong voice. I was listening to a voice that didn't have all the updated information. It didn't have that. And sometimes the reason that we're in this cycle is we listen to the wrong voice. If you're in the cycle today, if you're saying, man, I just keep going around this thing over and over again. You know, that voice that said, turn right. You know, your phone says it. We are prone to be led by our desires. Would everybody agree with that? So I think a lot of times we listen to the wrong voice. We listen to the voice of our desires. We listen to the loudest voices around. I got to tell you, the voice of God's not always the loudest. But the voice of God is the one that is full of truth and the one that reflects His character and His qualities. Here's the deal, guys. If you're on the detour, if you're in the cycle, okay. If you want to get off the cycle, it's time to start listening to His voice. He's got mercy, He's got compassion, He's got deliverance, and He's here for us.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.